This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
العالمين. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شاء من شيء بعد. All praise is for Allah in abundance. Pure and blessed praise, praise that fills the heavens and fills the earth and fills whatever else He wills after that. By the grace of Allah and His tawfiq, today, alhamdulillah, we begin a new series, Stories from the Quran. The Noble Quran is the Book of Allah, which was revealed in the month of Ramadan. And it has been sent for our guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. The month of Ramadan is that in which the Quran was revealed, and the Quran is guidance for all people. And this is the reason why we have begun this series, in order to gain guidance from the Book of Allah. The Book of Allah, the Quran, brings us out of darkness into light. It leads us onto the straight path, the straight path of Sirat al-Aziz al-Hamid, of Allah the Exalted, who is Almighty, who is praiseworthy. The Quran is a book that is filled with wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it Al-Quran al-Hakim, the book, the Quran that is wise. And this Quran is clear guidance for all those who seek that guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. This is not but a reminder and a clear Quran. And it is a reminder for all people. وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It is not but a reminder for all the worlds. Since the Quran is an instruction for all people, it guides, reminds, and offers wisdom in a number of different ways. Sometimes the Quran offers encouragement through promises of reward and the mention of paradise. Sometimes the Quran offers warning through the threat of punishment and the mention of hell. Sometimes the Quran asks us questions in order to awaken our minds and hearts. Sometimes the verses of the Quran bring us conviction through their miraculous nature. Sometimes the Quran gives us examples in order to make us reason, in order to make us reflect, and in order to learn different lessons. And we also see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us admonition and instruction through the stories that He relates in them. Storytelling is an incredibly effective way of teaching lessons. It gives reminders, and through storytelling, you are able to transform people's hearts because stories make a deep impact on people's hearts. And the thing about stories is that everyone finds them interesting, right? Young people find them interesting, children find them interesting, even older people find stories interesting, men and women, everyone finds stories interesting. Even if these stories are made up, people still have an interest in listening to them. Imagine then, if there are stories that are true, that are completely factual, and stories that are related by Allah Azza wa Jal, how much would there be in these stories for us to learn, and how much we can enjoy them, and how much we can benefit from them? Allahu Akbar. Now, Qasas al-Qur'an, the stories of the Qur'an, which inshallah is the topic of the series. First of all, let's talk about what Qasas al-Qur'an actually means. The word Qasas, which is also pronounced as Qisas, both are correct pronunciations, Qasas and Qisas. It is actually the plural of the word Qissah, and Qissah means a story. And linguistically, the word Qissah is from the verb Qassa Yaqussu, which means to follow after someone's track, to follow after someone's footsteps. Why? In an effort to track them, in an effort to find them, and you follow those footsteps, you follow that track, and you get closer to them by degrees, right? As you follow each step, you get closer to the person whose footsteps you are going in, whom you are trying to track, whom you are trying to trace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّيهِ. The mother of Musa alayhi salam said to the sister of Musa alayhi salam that قُصِّيهِ, قُصِّيهِ as in follow him. When she put Musa alayhi salam in the box and put the box in the river, she told his sister that follow him, meaning go in his track. And make sure that he does not get lost. See where he goes and you also go there. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions about Musa alayhi salam that فَرْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا, that they returned on their footsteps, retracing them. So qasas, qassa yaqussu means to follow someone's tracks in order to trace them down and in order to get closer to them by degrees. And in the Quran, the word qassa yaqussu has been used in a number of different ways. For example, first of all, it is used to mean to narrate a story, to relate a story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ, that we relate to you their story in truth. Then the word قَصَّ يَقُصُّ also means to make mention of someone. So for example, or something. So for example, Yaqub alayhi salam told his son Yusuf alayhi salam that لَا تَقُصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ. Do not relate your dream to your brothers, meaning do not mention it to them. Do not inform them. Do not tell them. Then the word qassa yaqussu also means to clarify and explain in detail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that inna hadha al-Qur'ana yaqussu ala bani Israel akthara alladhi hum fihi yakhtalifun. That this Quran relates to the bani Israel, yani in a lot of detail, explains to them much of what they used to differ in. So it gives explanation and clarification on account of which differences are resolved. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about Musa alayhi salam that when he came to the man in Madian, وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ, he related to him in detail his entire story. So قَصَّ يَقُصُّ is to relate, to make mention of something, or to mention something, to explain something in detail. And this is basically what's happening when you're telling a story. You are narrating an event, you are mentioning different people, different incidents, some in more detail than others. So, qassa means to relate a piece of news or information or dream or an event of the past or a story in its proper manner. على وجهه. It is to relate the story, the news, the dream, the event, how? In its proper manner. How it happened. In a sequence. One piece of information after another. So for example, when you're reading a story, then what happens? You read it in parts. Part one, part two, part three. There is a sequence. One event leads to another. There's different episodes. Now, why are stories called qasas in Arabic? Because in a story, what is the narrator doing? The narrator takes you on a journey, right? Step by step, as if you are following the main character, as if you are following each part of the story until you reach the end, the final ending. So it is as though the storyteller is himself following the traces, right? The track of the person he is narrating about. And he's also taking you on that journey. So this is the reason why stories are called qissa, that you are able to follow along. It's as if you can see what's happening. You can imagine in your mind what's happening. And you are taken on a journey, step by step, and you get to spend time with the one who is not only narrating the story, but also the one about whom the story is being narrated. Now, what exactly are the qasas al-Qur'an, the stories of the Qur'an? The thing is that in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related many stories. These stories are of past historical events, and there are also stories that give us details of different past nations, different kings, even different cities. So the qasas of Quran are stories which Allah has related in the Quran through his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us to take lesson from. The purpose of the stories of the Quran is not to record history or to inform us of every piece of information that relates to a past event. No. If that was the objective, then the stories in the Quran would be very long, they would be very boring, and they would be really of no benefit. The objective of the stories in the Quran is to teach us lesson. It is to give us ibrah. And that is really the focus in all of these stories. Now, the stories in the Quran, we see that they're not just of the prophets. They are of different individuals and different communities. And we see that some stories in the Quran are longer than others, and some stories are in more detail than others. When we look at the different stories in the Quran, we see that they are basically of three kinds. All right. The first type of stories in the Quran are those which are of prophets and messengers. And these stories, qasasul anbiya, are stories that give us insight into some incidents that occurred in the lives of the prophets and what happened between them and those who believed in them and those who disbelieved in them. In the Quran, there are 27 prophets that have been mentioned by name. But the stories of every one of these prophets is actually not given in the Quran. All right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَرُسُلًا قَدْ قَصَصْنَاهُمْ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُصْهُمْ عَلَيْكَ, that there are messengers about whom we have related to you, meaning their stories, and there are other messengers about whom we have not related to you any of their stories. This is mentioned two times in the Quran. In Surah Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ مِنْهُم مَّن قَصَصْنَا عَلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُم مَّن لَّمْ نَقْصُصْ عَلَيْكَ, that certainly we sent messengers before you, and among these messengers are those about whom we have related to you their stories, And among them are those about whom we have not related to you their stories. So there are 27 prophets that are mentioned in the Quran, but all of them all of them are not mentioned in detail, as in their stories are not mentioned in detail. There are some prophets whose stories are mentioned in great detail, like, for example, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? The life of Yusuf alayhi salam, it's been mentioned in a lot of detail. The majority of the surah, Surah Yusuf, is dedicated to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Likewise, we see the story of Musa alayhi salam, different parts of his life, right? They're mentioned in different places in the Quran. The story of Adam alayhi salam also is mentioned in a lot of detail. But then there are other prophets like Dhul Kifl, right? Only his name is mentioned. We don't know his story. So there are stories of the prophets that are mentioned in the Quran, some in more detail than others, and some of these stories are longer than others. The second type of stories that are mentioned in the Quran are stories of other people, meaning people other than the prophets. And these are stories of individuals and communities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for us. Why? In order to teach us important lessons. So for example, the story of Maryam alayhi salam is mentioned in a lot of detail in the Quran more than once. Why? So that we can learn from her example. Likewise, the story of Luqman, some of his sayings are mentioned in the Quran. Then there's also the story of the man who passed by a town that was in ruins, and Allah caused him to die and then resurrected him and showed that man his donkey come back to life before his eyes, right? Why has that story been mentioned in the Quran? In order for us to take lesson from. Dhul Qarnayn, his story is mentioned in the Quran. Why? For us to take lesson from. The story of Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave who went and took shelter in the cave, and they ended up sleeping there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to sleep over there for a very long time, right? Again, there's lesson for us in their story. The story of Ashabul Ukhdud, the people who believed and were persecuted by their king, and trenches were dug, filled with fire, and they were thrown in those trenches. So in that story is also a lesson for us. And among these stories are not just stories of the righteous, but also stories of the non-righteous, of those who disbelieved, of those who were arrogant, those who followed the footsteps of shaitan, like the story of Qarun and the story of the people of the elephant. So these are the second type of stories in the Quran, stories of other people, of different individuals and communities, of people other than the prophets, and other than the people to whom the prophets were directly sent to. And in these stories, again, is a lesson for us. The third type of stories are actually stories of revelation, meaning these are stories of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Quran was being revealed. So as these incidents occurred in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses regarding those incidents in order to teach us important lessons. So for example, in the Quran, details regarding the Battle of Badr are mentioned, the Battle of Uhud are mentioned, the Battle of Ahzab, the Battle of Bani Qurayza, Bani Nadir, any different battles that the Prophet ﷺ participated in, any their details are mentioned in the Quran. Why? In order for us to learn lesson from. Likewise, the incident of Ifk, the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha, the marriage and divorce of Zayd radiallahu anhu, the incident in Surah Al-Tahrim between the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Mujadila, the woman who came and disputed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, demanding her rights. So these stories are also mentioned in the Quran, stories of revelation, and among these are also incidents referring to the non-righteous, such as Abu Lahab, or details regarding the hypocrites. So these are basically the three kinds of Qasasul Quran. In this series, inshallah, we'll be focusing on the first kind of qasas al-Quran, which are the stories of the prophets of Allah. Now, qasas al-Quran are incredibly important. Typically, when you think about studying the Quran, people think about, you know, studying about what is halal, what is haram, what are the laws that are given in the Quran, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say regarding, you know, concepts which are very important to us, right? Themes which are very important to us. That is what we want to focus on. When it comes to studying stories in the Quran, people might think that this is something frivolous or something that is not that beneficial. Why focus on stories? And this is a very wrong way to think about the stories of the Quran. Because the stories in the Quran are not like stories which are related by people. They are completely different. First of all, we see that Allah Azza wa Jal says that He is the one who relates stories to us. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that كَذَلِكَ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ مَا قَدْ سَبَقْ, that thus do we relate to you of the news of what occurred before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is the one who is narrating, who is relating these stories to us. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes storytelling as His action, as His fi'l, naqussu alayka, this is something that Allah does, storytelling, then this is no insignificant thing. Storytelling is part of revelation. And Allah Himself narrates these stories to us. And when Allah Himself narrates these stories to us, what does that mean? That means that first of all, these stories are completely factual. They're reliable. We can 100% believe them because there is no fiction here. There is no error here, right? There's no made up detail over here. In fact, the stories which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates in the Quran actually inform us of the matters of the unseen, which is the past. The past is hidden from us. We do not have a time machine. We cannot go back into the past and verify whether something happened or not, whether someone existed or not. We don't have that ability. So how do we know information of the past? We know it through revelation. We know it through the stories of the past that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of, has related to us of. And this is necessary to know, right? Because the stories in the Quran tell us about human history, right? They tell us about actual historical facts. And other sources of history are not necessarily reliable. If you learn historical facts from, let's say, what people have collected of their knowledge, based on their observation or based on what they have learned from one another, of course, there could be a lot of errors, right? If it's human records, what people have recorded, again, there could be many errors, right? Secondly, since these stories are related by Allah, not only are they factual, they are also very interesting and actually enjoyable. You see, when you study history or when you read, about past events, at times they're filled with details that become very dry and very boring and sometimes actually very burdensome, right? A lot of people do not enjoy studying history because studying history means what? Learning about different dates and learning about different people, different nations, different empires, etc., different wars. And all of those details become very boring, right? They become very burdensome because you don't necessarily apply all of that information. We see, for example, in the Bible, there are many stories, many, many stories that have been related, but they mention too many names of individuals, too many names of cities, and too many numbers of, years of people, their ages, the number of things, etc. And the stories in the Bible are also very, very lengthy because they have been recorded by people. And in all that detail, you miss the main point. It's difficult to even find a theme. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself relates stories to us, what does that mean? That means that these stories will be 100% factual. These stories will be very interesting. These stories will actually be enjoyable. And these stories will be such that we can relate to them. We can understand them. We can learn from them. Then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to relate these stories to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَقُصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So relate the stories in order that people may reflect. So there is immense benefit in relating stories. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So that people reflect. The thing is that when we reflect, we are able to use our God-given gift of this intellect, right, that we have, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us over the rest of the creatures, over many, many creatures. When we reflect, we are able to not only use this gift that Allah has given us, but we're able to understand so many things. We're able to feel, we're able to internalize things that we otherwise could not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran the people who are ulul albab, people who have deep understanding. And they are people who remember Allah, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. They are people who remember Allah while standing, while sitting, while laying down. And there are also people who reflect. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They reflect on the creation of the skies and the earth. So we learn that the people who reflect and the people who remember Allah are actually people of deep understanding. So we should have the habit of dhikr and also of tafakkur. We should have the habit of remembering Allah and also of reflecting upon the signs in the creation, upon the verses of the Quran, and also upon the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related in the Quran. And many people neglect tafakkur. Tafakkur is actually an ibadah. It is actually an act of worship. When you reflect on the creation, when you reflect on the verses of the Quran, when you reflect on the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related in the Quran, you are actually engaged in an act of worship. Worship is not just something that you do with your limbs. Worship is also something that you do with your heart, with your thoughts, with your mind. And sometimes the action of the heart, of the mind, is more beneficial than the action of the limbs alone. Abu Darda said that tafakkuru sa'a khayrun min qiyami layla, that reflecting for an hour can be better than standing in prayer all night long. Yani the faith, the conviction, the increase in faith that reflection will bring you, sometimes praying all night will not bring you that level of faith and conviction. So it doesn't mean that praying in the night is not important. No, it is important. What he's telling us is that the tafakkur, reflection, is also very, very important. And people who do not reflect on the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related in the Quran, or on the verses of the Quran, on the creation of Allah, they are falling in heedlessness. This is ghafla, which is actually very detrimental, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts by which they do not understand. So if a person does not reason, does not pay attention, does not reflect, they're not using their heart. And it is the characteristic of the believers that they reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan regarding the believers that وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. That there are those who, when they're reminded of the verses of their Lord, they do not fall deaf and blind. No, they listen, they pay attention, they think, they consider, they remember, they reflect. So the reason why we are studying the stories of the Quran is not just to increase in our information of, you know, what happened with the prophets, or just to pass our time, or just to, you know, find some good halal entertainment. No, that is not the purpose over here. The purpose over here is to reflect upon these stories in order to learn lesson from them. And in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using our hearts. Ibn Aun said that reflection removes heedlessness. Reflection produces the fear of Allah in the heart. Just as water irrigates land and prepares it for growing something. Before you grow, before you sow something in the ground, or when you do sow something in the ground, you must water the ground in order to soften it, right? Once the ground is softened and then you sow the seed in it, then again you give water, then something will grow. And just like that, reflection softens the heart. It prepares the heart for growth. When you reflect on the verses of the Quran, when you reflect on the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related in the Quran, you will find yourself stronger in your iman. You will find in yourself the softness of heart to worship Allah, to turn to Allah. You will find in yourself the motivation to make dua. You will find in your heart the ability to break down before Allah and to seek forgiveness from Allah. You will find in your heart a willingness to put your faith, to put your trust in Allah. So the stories in the Quran, they're not just for the purpose of information or for entertainment. No, they are for the purpose of reflection. They are for the purpose of softening our hearts, preparing our hearts for ibadah. Ibn Aun said, contemplation enlightens the heart like nothing else does. The thing is that there are many things that we come across, right? That we read, for example, we hear, and we don't understand them right away, or we don't understand them easily. So what is needed at that time is reflection. You know, for example, when you read the stories in the Quran, sometimes you find yourself wondering, well, why did so-and-so say this? And then what happened to so-and-so, right? You find yourself wondering. When you find yourself wondering, this is the time to reflect. And this is the time when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ability to reflect deeper so you can get to the core of the matter. You can get to the main crux. You can remember and you can understand what is being said. Make dua for yourself that, oh Allah, give me the ability to understand this verse. Give me the ability to understand this concept. You know, when Ibn Taymiyyah, when he had difficulty understanding something, especially in the Quran, he would busy himself in dua. He would busy himself in dhikr. Instead of studying more and discussing more, he would actually busy himself in dua. He would say, O teacher of Ibrahim, teach me. Ya mu'allima Ibrahim, allimni. Wa ya mufahima Sulaymana, fahimni. O one who gave understanding to Sulaiman, give me understanding as well. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches you something, when He gives you the ability to understand, to grasp something, then you truly understand it. And no person and no book can do that for you. Sometimes what we do is that when we're struggling with something, we think the solution is in working harder. Yes, you have to work harder, but work alone, study alone, research alone cannot get you to your destination, cannot bring you the solutions that you're seeking, because books do not contain everything. You cannot find answers to everything in what people have written. Google and ChatGPT cannot answer every question of yours. No, it is Allah who gives knowledge. It is Allah who gives understanding. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in our ability to reflect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related these stories in the Quran. Why? So that we reflect. And when we reflect, when we're able to understand, then we are able to apply the concepts that are being taught. Then we are able to remember them and retain them. So We see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself relates stories, and he also tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to relate stories. And we see in the Quran that the prophets before also related stories to their people in order to give them warning, in order to motivate them, in order to encourage them. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding Shu'aib alayhi salam, that he said to his people that وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شِقَاقِي أَن يُصِيبَكُمْ مِثْلُ مَا أَصَابَ قَوْمَ نُوحٍ أَوْ قَوْمَ هُودٍ أَوْ قَوْمَ صَالِحٍ وَمَا قَوْمُ لُوطٍ مِنْكُمْ بِبَعِيدٍ. He mentioned to them, he reminded them of the past nations and their stories. Why? In order to encourage them to believe, to take his message seriously. Now, the stories of the Quran, they are for the purpose of teaching us lesson, right? For the purpose of making us reflect and learn and remember important lessons and apply them in our lives, right? And all of this effort is actually an ibadah. Now, one thing we should understand is that the stories in the Quran are not like stories that are related by people, okay? They are unlike any other story, okay? And they have some unique characteristics. First of all, we see that the stories in the Quran are actually the best stories. Why? Because they are related in the best way. So in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, that we relate to you the best of stories. Yani the best storytelling. أحسن القصص doesn't mean that the story is the best. What it means is that the manner in which the story has been related is the best. The manner of storytelling is the best. So how is it that the stories in the Quran are best, yes, in terms of their content because they're factual, but also in terms of their style, in terms of the way that they have been related? They are the best because, first of all, like I mentioned, they are factual, right? And what is true has a very different impact. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has related these stories, they are factual. And as a result of that, they have a very different impact on our hearts. You know, sometimes you learn about a story and it's so beautiful, it's so heart-moving, you know, heartwarming. And then you find out that it's actually not true. It's fictional. When you find out that it was fictional, I mean, it is disappointing at the end of the day. You wish that the story was real. You do wish that that story was true. And when you find a story that is enjoyable, that is really good, you know, it really affects you, you really like it, and you also find out that it's actually true, it has a very different impact on your heart. Then we see that the stories in the Quran are the best because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has related them in the Arabic language, which is the best of all languages, most powerful and also very moving. And Arabic is a very rich language. The way that Arabic words can be strung together can, you know, you can convey an ocean of meaning in very few words. And those words, the way that they're strung together, they have a very profound effect just, you know, by listening to them. The wording itself can be so moving. The wording itself can have a very profound effect on your heart. And then we see that the stories in the Quran are free of any unnecessary details. Even if some of these stories are longer compared to others, they're not lengthy. They may be longer, but they're not lengthy. They're not such that you begin a story and you're wondering when is it going to end. No, because there are no unnecessary details. They are long yet precise, to the point. And then we see that the stories in the Quran are not just nice stories. Rather, they are beneficial stories. They are relatable. and you know every detail that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in these stories serves a purpose. So when we learn these stories in the Quran and when we reflect on them, inshallah, I hope that you will find this entire process very, very beneficial, because this entire process is supposed to be entirely beneficial. There is no waste of time here. There's only benefit here. By learning these stories, inshallah, we will learn to reflect. We will gain guidance from them. We will gain instruction and good advice. Learning them will bring a light into our lives. And inshallah, our lives will improve. Because as people, we find it easiest to relate with other people, right? It's so easy to learn lessons from stories. You're able to learn and change easily. And there's so many lessons to take. Now let's talk a little bit about the objective, the purpose of the stories in the Quran. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us different stories in the Quran? First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us different stories. Why? In order to teach us lessons, in order to give us important instruction. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, ayah 111, that لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. There is certainly in their stories a lesson for those of understanding. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. The Quran is not a narration that is invented, that is fabricated. No. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Rather, the Quran is a confirmation of what was before it and a detailed explanation of all things. And the Quran is guidance and mercy for a people who believe. So these stories don't just teach us lessons, yani, that we can understand, we can comprehend cognitively. No, these stories are also a healing for us. They are a guidance and mercy for people who believe. These stories can be transformational. Then we see that the stories of the prophets especially bring firmness and strength to the heart. Because when you read about the stories, when you learn about the stories of the prophets and how they struggled, you know that you are not the first one to struggle. You are not the first and the only one to face hardship in life. And this was especially important for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because through the stories in the Quran, he learned that the prophets before him also faced hardship. And when he learned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him about different prophets and the hardships that they faced, as a result of that, the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became firm. And when he became firm and steadfast, when he had courage, then the believers with him also became firm and steadfast. They too had courage. Think about it. If a leader is strong and courageous, then what happens? The people around that leader, right, they also become courageous. But if the leader becomes weak and begins to cry and begins to, begins to panic, then, of course, the people around him will actually become even more weak, right? So the stories of the prophets that are mentioned in the Quran, they bring firmness and strength and steadfastness to the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, ayah 120, that وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. And each story we relate to you from the news of the messengers is that by which we make firm your heart. Allahu Akbar. Why is it that we have related the stories of the messengers to you? In order to make your heart firm. And there has come to you in this the truth and an instruction and a reminder for the believers. Thirdly, another reason why stories are mentioned in the Quran is because stories in the Quran offer us encouragement and motivation. They give us the encouragement and motivation to remain firm on our faith and to increase in our faith, to increase in our righteous actions, to strive in the way of Allah. Because the stories in the Quran basically prove to us that people before us believed in Allah, they put their faith in Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on their side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued them. So for example, the story of Yunus alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We responded to him and we rescued him, and thus do we rescue the believers. So when you learn the story of Yunus alayhi salam, it brings you encouragement and motivation that just as Allah rescued him, he can also rescue you. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped his prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also help you. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They bring you encouragement and motivation that Allah will help you. He will not abandon you. Then another benefit is that the stories of the Quran give us the conviction that the truth always wins. And this is a very important thing. You see, when you see, for example, the state of the Muslims, right, in different parts of the world, and you wonder, why are Muslims struggling so much? Right? And a very simplistic explanation could be, or simplistic reasoning could be that, oh, perhaps Muslims are not upon the truth, right? And many people think like that, that if people are successful in this life, then they must be doing something right. And if people are struggling in this life, they must be doing something wrong. They're not on the truth. And this is a very superficial way of looking at the world. When you read the stories in the Quran, what do you see? You see that yes, the believers before also struggled. They endured great hardship for a very, very long time. But what happened eventually? The truth won. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. That we will indeed, surely, help our messengers and those who believe in worldly life, and also on the day that the witnesses will stand, meaning on the day of judgment. So when you read the stories in the Quran, the story of Musa alayhi salam, for example, you develop the conviction that the truth always wins. And it's very important to have that conviction, because then you will stick to the truth no matter how hard it is. Then another reason why stories are given in the Quran is because stories also show us the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on his righteous slaves. You need these stories, for example, of the prophets are not just stories of struggle, of patience. No, they're also stories of prophets, for example, who were blessed by Allah, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed different favors on at different times of their lives. So for example, you learn about Sulaiman alayhi salam, and you're amazed by how much Allah favored him with, how much Allah gave him. And he was smart, he was intelligent, he was a very good judge. Subhanallah, he was wealthy, he had so much power, he had so much knowledge, he knew so many languages, he was able to communicate with the birds even, he was able to understand what the ant communicated. Subhanallah. So when you learn the stories of the prophets, you realize how vast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are, and how huge his favors are, and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows on his slaves. You see how Ayyub alayhi salam, yes, he suffered for a very long time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala healed him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with more family and more wealth than he had before his illness. You learn about Maryam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her sustenance. That even Zakariya alayhi salam wondered, he asked her, where'd you get this from? He would be shocked. He would be surprised. You learn about Zakaria alayhi salam, how in his old age he prayed and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a child. Allahu Akbar. So when you read the stories in the Quran, they fill you with hope. They build in you the conviction, the realization that Allah's treasures are vast, His favors are huge. So then you are more willing to call upon Allah. You are more hopeful in the favors of Allah. Then we see that the stories of the Quran also serve as a warning. And this is very important because sometimes we need hope in our lives, and there are other times when we actually need to fix ourselves, so we need some kind of warning. So when we read the stories in the Quran and we see how, for example, Qarun, when he was so arrogant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the earth to swallow Qarun and swallow all of the wealth of Qarun, and this humbles you. The story serves as a warning. That the stories of the Quran also remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice. We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice, right? How, for example, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam committed injustice against him, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. And He brought the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam to a point where they were weak and they admitted their mistake and they apologized. They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, right? We see, for example, how Fir'aun was such a tyrant and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established His justice and gave Fir'aun what Fir'aun deserved. Just the beginning of that, even in the world, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed his entire, the kingdom of Fir'aun, right? Then we see that the stories of the Quran also prove the truthfulness of the Quran. And they also prove the truthfulness of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not there when the incident of Maryam happened, when her mother brought her and the people began casting lots in order to decide who would be the caretaker, who would be the guardian of Maryam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran, that وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. You were not present with them when they were disputing among themselves. About the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ. About the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you were not the resident of the people of Madian. Right? وَمَا كُنْتَ ثَاوِيًا فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنْ. And you were not there to witness this incident. So how do you know of these incidents in so much detail? And how can you relate them in so much detail? Because it has been revealed to you. Because this Quran is truly the word of Allah. Then we see that the stories of the Quran also teach us the fact they remind us and they strengthen in us the conviction that Allah is one, right? There is only one God. There is only one religion. There is only one ummah from the beginning. When you learn the story of Nuh alayhi salam, the first messenger, right? You see that he called people to Allah, one and only true God, right? He taught that same one religion, which was taught by the prophets after him, the messengers after him. And then we see that the stories of the Quran also teach us important historical facts that remove doubts and fill the gaps in our collective knowledge. There are many things of human history that people, just from their records and just from their observation and just from their research, cannot No, right? There are still many gaps, and these gaps oftentimes are filled by what? By the details that are given in the Quran. So why should we learn the stories of the prophets? Why? Because when we learn the stories of the prophets, first of all, we learn about those individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. Imagine, out of all people, all the people on the surface of the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Nuh alayhi salam to be his messenger. Right? Out of all the creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that Adam should be the Khalifa on the earth. Right? So who are these individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose? Do we not read about successful people? Do we not read about, you know, the lives of famous people? Right? People who have wealth, people who have royalty, people who have, different types of things in their lives by which we measure success. Why do we read about them? Why do we learn about them? Because we want to know what is special about them. What have they done? What did they do? So that we can also apply that in our lives in order to find similar success. So the prophets of Allah are the best of humanity. They're the ones chosen by Allah. When we study their stories, when we reflect upon their stories, how much can we learn from them that will not only benefit us in this life, but will benefit us for eternity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about his messengers that وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ, that indeed they are to us among the chosen and outstanding. And they are outstanding. They are the best of humanity. اللَّهُ يَصْطَفِي مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah is the one who chooses messengers from among the angels and also from people. So these are people whom Allah chose. When we learn the stories of the prophets, we also learn about الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, about the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his favor on. Think about it. In every salah, we recite Surah Al-Fatiha and we make dua. We ask Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. What is the straight path? It is صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. It is the path of those on whom you bestowed favor. So who are these people who were granted success by Allah, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his favor upon? They are, first and foremost, the prophets of Allah. And when we learn their stories, we find a practical example in their lives that we can apply. Because the thing is that we cannot be what we cannot see. As human beings, we learn by example. We learn by observation. Now, yes, we are not in the company of the prophets right now, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us glimpses of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the company of the prophets by telling us about their stories. So when we read their stories, we reflect upon them, it is as if we can see them. It is as if we are with them. We can learn from their example. We can learn by the things they said, by how they responded, you know, in different situations. Another reason why we should study, we should reflect on the stories of the prophets is because we have actually been commanded to follow the prophets, right? And if we do not know their stories, if we do not know the details of their lives, then how exactly are we supposed to follow them if we don't even know them? If we don't even know about what they did in different situations? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about his prophets that فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي, that those are the ones whom Allah has guided. So from their guidance, take an example. Meaning, follow their example. Follow their footsteps. Do what they did. And at the end of the day, the stories of the prophets, we should all reflect on them, no matter who we are, no matter how our lives are, no matter how much we know or we don't know, no matter how happy we are or we're not with our lives, no matter what our circumstances are, each one of us deserves to reflect on the stories of the prophets because in these stories are great benefits for us. One of the scholars said that in these stories, there is a great lesson to take. Yani the stories of the prophets and the believers before us, there is a great lesson in these stories for us to take. And that lesson is that the believers will most certainly be tested. This is the main lesson, that the believers will most certainly be tested. And the fact is that no matter who you are, no matter how your life is, you are going to be tested in different ways. Tests don't only come in the form of hardship. They also come in the form of wealth. They also come in the form of health. So this is the main lesson, that the believers will most certainly be tested. And when they are tested, they should not despair, because they should know that those better than them were also tested, and they ultimately had a good end. And if you think about it, the prophets, were they tested? Absolutely. Every single story that is mentioned in the Quran of any prophet, you see in that story how that prophet was tested with something. Something of fear, something of, you know, pain, something of hardship, of, you know, opposition from their people, hurtful words, or wealth, power. Every single story shows us that prophets of Allah were tested. But ultimately, the prophets had a good end. So when we reflect on these stories, what do we learn? That we too will be tested. And in our tests, we should not despair. So the one who is in doubt should develop conviction. The one who is in sin should repent. The one who believes should grow strong in faith. And by doing this, you are following the way of the prophets. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين من ذرية آدم وممن حملنا مع نوح ومن ذرية إبراهيم وإسرائيل وممن هدينا واجتبينا. الله أكبر. Those are the ones upon whom Allah bestowed favor from among the prophets. Yani these are people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed favor on. And they are of the descendants of Adam. They're children of Adam. They're human beings just like you. So when you see that the prophets of Allah were tested, and they are the chosen ones, and they're the ones who ultimately had a good end, then you have an excellent example to follow. And this is why we see that the stories of the Quran, the stories of the prophets in the Quran, and not just the stories of the prophets, but in general, the stories that are in the Quran are different kinds, right? Different themes. So you have stories of the wealthy and the grateful king, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. You have the story of a just king, Dhul Qarnayn. You have the story of beautiful patience of Yaqub alayhi salam. You have the story of the patience of Ayyub alayhi salam. Subhanallah. You have the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, where he was tested over and over again, and he remained chaste. Then we see that the stories in the Quran are related in different ways. Some stories are mentioned only once, and there are other stories in the Quran which are mentioned more than once. They have been repeated. But this repetition is not mere repetition. No, there's reason behind that. Repetition of stories means that in one place in the Quran, a story is given in more detail. In another place in the Quran, that same story is given in lesser detail. Right? It's mentioned in a brief way. Okay? Sometimes there is repetition of stories because you see that in one place the story is mentioned in a very strong and powerful way. Okay? Yani something, and the the style of that story is that it fills you with fear. It fills you with, you know, it gives warning. And then you see another time, another place where that same story is mentioned, but it is mentioned in a very soft way, as if it is a balm to your heart. It's so calming. It is so refreshing. It is so healing. So the repetition is not just repetition of content. No, it is repetition, but there is difference in style, in length, and also in style. Sometimes certain details are given in one place, and then in another place where that same story is mentioned, other details have been given. Like, for example, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned in different places in the Quran. But in each passage where his story is mentioned, different details are given, right? And different lessons are taught. The story of Musa alayhi salam is mentioned in many parts of the Quran. And again, in each passage that talks about the story of Musa alayhi salam, different details are given. The style is different. So it has a different impact on your heart, right? So what is the summary then? What is the main lesson then from today's session? We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran in order to guide us, in order to give us important instruction, in order to give us different lessons that we need. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned stories of his prophets and stories of past nations, stories of different people and different communities. Why? So that we learn from them. And all of the details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in the Quran are filled with truth, and they are excellent in their manner, and they are beneficial in their effect. And the stories offer us encouragement and warning and lessons that we can take. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to reflect deeply on these stories, to learn important lessons for our lives in order to strengthen our faith, strengthen our heart, in order to make us better worshippers and better human beings. Ameen. Inshallah, we'll see you tomorrow, and we will begin the story of Adam alayhi salam. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.